Well, hello, and welcome back to the Master Books podcast. We have Angela O'Dell with us. Angela is the author of three of our series at Master Books. She is the author of Math Lessons for a Living Education, America's Story, and the World Story. And today she's joining us for a very special podcast episode on the history and the impact of Holy Week. This episode is going to help prepare your hearts for celebration of the Lord's resurrection and our salvation in Christ. And it will also help you as a homeschool parent to teach the history and the biblical background of this one week that changed everything for the world, for everyone. So stay tuned. Here at Master Books, we are dedicated to help you disciple your children and develop a strong faith as a family. With pro-Bible homeschool curriculum and beautiful books that honor God as creator. We offer online courses to help your family worship and serve God. You will also find morning baskets and devotionals for the whole family. Our mission is ink on paper to touch eternity, and we have been publishing Christian books for this purpose since 1975. Find your pro-Bible homeschool curriculum at masterbooks.com. Well, Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
It's always great to have you on the show. You are so popular in the Master Books family of homeschool people. They love your series. I'm so impressed about how many of your series were voted top ranked in the industry in the last year. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining us today to celebrate Holy Week. We are excited for you to give us more knowledge and insight on the historical and biblical aspects of this one climax of all human history. That is a huge thing to say about Holy Week. And there's so many people that would take issue with Jesus dying on the cross being the climax of all human history. But we know it's true because we trust the Bible. And so I'm excited for you to teach us about this today and teach us in a way that we can also share it with our families. So what year in our history did Holy Week take place? And then tell us, do you cover that in one of your books?
Yes, I do. And that is a great question, Jennifer. Holy Week is the week that we celebrate. It's between what we call Palm Sunday, which is in remembrance of when Jesus came into Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And the people greeted him with shouts of Hosanna, and they laid the palm branches down for him. So it's between that and Easter Sunday, which is the Sunday that we celebrate his resurrection, the empty tomb, and all of those implications in our lives. And yes, I do cover all of that in World Story 1, mm-hmm. The Story of the Ancients, which is, as a side note, one of my, it's in my top three of my favorite books, just because I learned so much in the researching for this book. It was absolutely phenomenal and so faith-building for myself. So yes, it's all in that book.
Okay. So grab it's volume one, right? Volume one of the World Story to get mm-hmm. more details about Holy Week and what year in our history that it happened. Yep. So how in the world is Holy Week the climax of all human history? I know those people who are listening, they love the Bible already, so they know, but we just want to restate it because it's so mm-hmm. powerful when we speak the word, when we speak the truth. And when Absolutely. We hear it, it brings forth more faith. So we definitely want to talk about it.
Exactly. And this week is such a great week to actually take some intentional time to revisit the topic. Mm-hmm. The entire, what I call the meta narrative of the Word of God, which is just the big picture, it's centered around the theme of creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. That's the big picture. And it's also the theme of all of the smaller stories that make up that bigger story. So all the way back in Genesis 3, we read the promise that there would come an offspring of Eve who would bruise or crush the serpent's head, right? Mm-hmm. This is right after the fall. This is the conversation that God has in the garden before he shoos them out and puts an angel to guard the entrance of the garden so they wouldn't come back in and eat from the tree that would cause them to live forever. So that promise of redemption to come was built on throughout the Old Testament as God formed his chosen people from whom he would bring his son, Jesus, the Redeemer. So Holy Week is the climax because everything up to that point was leading to that moment in history when order would be brought back from the chaos that sin had brought into the world. The separation from God would no longer have the final word. And I love it where it says, while we were still sinners, Jesus came and he conquered sin. And he is, like I tell the kids in my own podcast, he's the king who won the war. He won the war. And he created a way for us to be restored to the Father. So, of course, that's the climax of history. It was being talked about and prophesied about all the way up into that. And it's also the climax because everything after that point is leading to the return, the triumphant return of Jesus, who is going to come back and vanquish Satan forever and set up his kingdom, his eternal kingdom.
Yes.
So that is a really good reason that it would be the climax of history. And, you know, just as a side note, even secular historians who don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you think about it, our calendar and all of that is all set up centered around Jesus.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's an important thing to remember, that even though people don't believe it today, that there are so many people who don't believe it today, it was such a big deal then that everything changed. Time itself changed. The calendar itself changed. Everything changed. And I'm just amazed by what he did for us before we were born and before we sinned. Because God knew we would be born and he knew we would sin and he knew we would need a savior because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what we need. He's a good father. And I love that you brought out those four events in history. Tell them to us one more time.
What was that?
The four events in history.
Yes, the themes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So creation, it's Genesis 1 and 2, that creation. And then there was the fall and then there's redemption. And then there's restoration. So yes, we're really waiting for that. We have restoration in the sense of that we have the ability to go to God. Jesus created a way for us to go into the very throne room of God. Mm-hmm. So I want the listeners just to think about that for just a moment. We as humans, as frail humans, have the ability to go right into the throne room of God.
Right.
Isn't that just incredible?
It is incredible. And two things come to mind about that. One, we would never get to go into the Oval Office to meet with the president, whomever the president was, whatever year it was in history. Yep. We would not have that invitation unless the Lord ordained it and we were super special.
Right.
But God made a way through Jesus to hide us in Christ. We are hidden in the cleft of the rock like Moses was, so that when God passed by, he wouldn't be killed.
Exactly.
By the power of God. So
exactly,
Jesus made a way for us to be hidden in him, in his perfection, so we could come in to that throne room and ask for what we need to build the kingdom and to be alive in this time, to be awake in this time to the gospel, to be agents of Christ here on this earth and of the good news and the Great Commission.
Exactly. And, you know, it also gives us an opportunity to, like I said, go into that throne room of God, but it also gives us the opportunity to really have communion with the one who created us, who is the only one who can show us who we really are in him. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that Christians everywhere would be more effective in bringing change to a culture if we ourselves could be gripped by the greatness of God. If we could be gripped by the greatness of God, we could just see and put aside all of the things that distract us and just focus on what, how great God is and how amazing it is that God the Son actually sacrificed himself for us. That is, I've always said, told my kids, no matter how big a problem is, the cross is always bigger. It's always bigger. Yes.
That's so good. So tell us, when did the Passover start according to biblical history? And then tell us about the importance of prophecy from the Old Testament and how it relates to Holy Week.
Okay. The Passover is one of those topics that we could really talk about all day. It's absolutely fascinating. The first Passover, just in a nutshell, it happened right before God led the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, out of Egypt after 430 years of slavery. 430 years. Think about that in comparison to how long our country, our nation, has been officially a nation. It blows your mind to think about how long those people were in slavery. But God had systematically brought destruction to the land of Egypt by hitting them with plagues. And that's also something that I talk about in this book, where there's actually a chart where it goes through the plagues and how God used them to destroy specific false gods of Egypt. And it's really a fascinating discovery in that there's so much order and organization in everything that God does. So God had systematically destroyed Egypt by hitting them with all these plagues, everything from making the Nile River, which is the lifeblood, literally, of that civilization. He literally turns it into blood. And he sends gnats and flies and biting insects to just torment them. Now, we know how that feels in Minnesota with the mosquitoes.
Oh, here in Louisiana too.
I can imagine. So, yep, that was just a dreadful, dreadful plague. And every time a plague would come, Pharaoh would say, "Oh my, stop. Go away, leave me alone." And then the plague would stop and God would harden his heart again. So finally, the final plague, which was by far the worst, was coming. And so God knew what he was going to be doing to the Egyptians. And he gave his children, his chosen people, an out. What did he do? He told them, go find a lamb, a perfect spotless lamb, and kill it and use the meat for a special meal, and then use the blood to paint your door frame. Now, to just a casual listener, that sounds really kind of gross, really. Let's be honest. You know, let's go find a perfect little lamb and kill it,
right,
and eat that meat and paint its blood on our doorstep.
Gruesome.
You know, just somebody imagine you doing that today, that your neighbors would think you were insane, right? But there was a reason for it. Besides all the symbolism, I mean, Jesus, the Lamb of God, right? And the blood that kept the Israelites from being affected by this plague, Jesus' blood on the cross. It's just so full of symbolism. But back at that time, they didn't know that symbolism was what it was going to be. So they just needed to be obedient. And they went and they found this lamb and they made this meal and they gathered all their family inside the house and they painted the blood on the door frame. And then God sent this angel of death through the land. And all of the firstborn who lived in the houses without the blood, they all died, including Pharaoh's oldest. They're his firstborn. So this definitely caused Pharaoh to finally let it go and let the people go. And from then on, the Passover was an observance of that deliverance. And it was carried on throughout the centuries afterwards. And the Israelites would do this as a solemn feast of remembrance. And they had very specific days that they would do all of these things in remembrance. So he would do these things in, he told the children of Israel to do these things in remembrance of that. So the prophet Isaiah spoke about the coming of the Messiah. And he said that he would be as a lamb led to the slaughter. And that is exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened during Holy Week.
You just have to sit with that a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's just pause and thank Jesus for choosing that life and death for us. We are alive because of that. We have life eternal because of that.
Yeah. And his deliverance from sin.
Yes. So which specific events during the week are crucial to understanding the big picture of Jesus's death and resurrection?
Well, like I said earlier, the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem, that's the day we call Palm Sunday. That was actually the day before the Jewish people were to choose their spotless lamb for Passover.
Okay. So he came chosen as the spotless lamb.
Yep. So as they're doing their rituals of Passover that they've been doing for centuries, they're remembering what God did for them when they were slaves in Egypt, their ancestors. And you have to remember that at this specific time, the Jewish people had been in and out of slavery and conquest. And even at the time of Christ, they weren't ruling themselves. They were being ruled by the Romans. But they were allowed to continue their festivals and their rituals and their observances of their religion. So they were, that was the day before the Passover lambs were to be chosen, is when Jesus came in. And then on the day that we call Maundy Thursday is the day before Good Friday, Jesus and his disciples observed the Passover meal in the upper room of the house where they were staying. And it was the first communion and it was the last Passover meal before the Lamb of God was sacrificed for the sins of the world. And it was also during Holy Week, the week that Christ was in Jerusalem, that Judas betrayed him. That happened on Wednesday. Which is the day before the Last Supper. And, you know, I as I was thinking about what to share on this podcast, I was thinking about the fact that we could fill this with historical facts, which we're giving a kind of a framework to kind of build around. But I don't want to fill it with just the historical facts. I want to also point out the fact that Jesus wasn't in the dark about what was going on. He knew exactly why he was here. He knew exactly why it was important for him to go to Jerusalem. He knew that he was ending the time on earth here. He was getting near to that end. And he knew that he was going to be facing just unimaginable pain and torture. He also knew who had betrayed him. And he was faced with that choice right up to the end. Do I let this cup pass me by? Do I do the will of God? And in doing that, he chose to love the one who had betrayed him. It says in John 13 that he knelt and he washed his disciples' feet. And Judas was there. He was there. And so in the face of betrayal and persecution, Jesus loved. And
absolutely,
I just love that. And when he was arrested and and Peter got so angry, I see myself in Peter so much. I really do. when Peter slices off the soldier's ear and Jesus is like, no, he heals the man's ear. And he's like, those who live by the sword, die by the sword, put that away. You know, God's will is going to be fulfilled in this. So Jesus's life, including his last week here, is a pattern for us, for our lives. And his example is always relevant, no matter what culture no matter what century we live in, right?
Right.
And like I said, I tend to be like Peter. I would be the one that Jesus would be saying, "Get behind me, Satan," you know, because I want to change things. I want to force things to happen, but that's just not the way that Jesus did it. And it was a strong truth and love. And of course, as we know, truth and love have to go together, because without truth, love is not love. And without love, truth is not truth. So it has to go together.
Right.
And that's what we see in the person of Jesus.
And Galatians tells us our faith works by love. And so our faith in Jesus Christ is useless unless it is
absolutely
acted out in love. And that's what we see Jesus doing, even with the one who betrayed him.
Exactly.
He had preached about it in the Sermon on the Mount, to love your enemies, bless those who curse you, despitefully use you. And so he modeled it for us so that we know it is possible, and it is a beautiful life of freedom in our hearts to be able to do that. And I'm so thankful for the healing that that brings. He demonstrated forgiveness on the cross. And so that's what we're called to do, live that life he died to give us, the life of forgiveness. So my last question is, why is it so important for us to understand the death, the type of death Jesus suffered on our behalf?
Well, in a nutshell, Jesus died the death of a criminal, and not just any criminal, but the type of death that he suffered through was a crucifixion. It was a Roman crucifixion. It was really quite simply for people who had no rights. The very lowest of low are the ones that were crucified. And it was done in such a way to serve as an example for others. Like, don't do that, because that could be how you end up.
Right.
You know, to deter other people from doing that crime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Holy Week is an excellent time to really focus on the reality of what Christ went through for us. And the historical evidence for Christ's crucifixion and resurrection is so strong that even secular historians can't argue with it. If you think about this absolute torture that Jesus submitted himself to, he allowed himself to be nailed to that cross. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to be. He could have called on the army of angels to come and rescue him, and they would have been there right there. Mm-hmm. He allowed himself to be pierced by that spear. He allowed that body to be laid in a grave. He allowed that. And John 13 explains why. In verse 3, I actually wrote this down. Let's see. Verse 3 says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. Isn't that amazing? He knew he was the Passover lamb for the world. He knew that through his death and resurrection, he was creating a way for that shattered relationship between the Creator and the created to have renewed communion. He is the Redeemer. And when Jesus rose again, he appeared to multiple people at different times. And that was for a reason. It was so that nobody could dispute that he had risen. If he had just appeared to maybe like 4 or 5 of his disciples at one time, people could say, well, of course they're going to say that. They're his followers. Mm-hmm. But he didn't. He appeared to multiple people in multiple locations at multiple times in multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
Some and didn't realize who he was, and some didn't until he started talking, and they're like, whoa, what? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So because of that, and because it was seen by so many eyewitnesses, and it was recorded by so many people, even secular historians have a hard time arguing with it.
I love that. And I love that you know, we at Master Books have the opportunity, choose to publish books that impact eternity. And so we have so many, including your series, America's Story and World Story, so many resources to help families know history as it truly was. Biblical history, how it lines up with the world's history, not that biblical history isn't the world's history, but people would like to say that there's a disparity. But we have so many resources, including the Adams chart of history, so many timelines, so many ways to that are documented that these things happened, and they are documented by so many people. And those documents were alive and recorded. And so I encourage you to take advantage of those resources. Look through our apologetics, look through our biblical history resources, and know that the Bible can be trusted, that what the Holy Week is in the Bible is true, that it is a true biblical event. We're so thankful for you, Angela, and the way that you write so that we know true history and we know the gospel and how they work together. And I would love for you to take a moment here at the end of the podcast to pray over the Master Books family, specifically for understanding that wisdom and revelation, that spiritual knowledge and insight for people to understand the gospel, understand Holy Week and how it applies to them, how it truly is the ultimate climax of history.
I'd be happy to. Lord Jesus, our Passover lamb, thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to speak to the families, the Master Books families, the ones who are not quite yet Master Books families, but are going to be. Lord, you promised us in James 1:5-8, that if we ask for wisdom, that you will give it to us without criticism, without begrudging. Lord, we ask you for wisdom. We live in terrifying times, such scary, scary times for us as we look at it from our point of view. But Lord, we know that you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, that you see human history not as history of all times, but you see it from beginning to end, that you exist outside of our time, our concept of time, that you are the creator of that concept of time, that you created it for us, but you are definitely not bound by it. Lord, I ask you to give special comfort, wisdom, guidance to everyone who hears me praying. Lord, you have called us to raise these children that you have given us for just such a short time. Help us to remember that you are not afraid, you are not shocked by what is going on in the world today. And during this Holy Week this year, I ask you to help us to keep our eyes on you, to keep in the front of our mind a remembrance of what Jesus did. We thank you, and we praise you, and we give you all the glory. We are your humble servants. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful prayer. Thank you so much, Angela, for joining the podcast, for praying over us that, you know, the Lord, that word will not return void. The Lord has heard your prayer. Hey, thanks for joining us today for the Master Books podcast. It was really fun to do this with you today. We hope that you'll take a moment and rank and review the podcast wherever you are listening or watching so that others can find it more easily. We loved having you here, and we look forward to being with you on the next podcast. It comes out every other week, Mondays at 5 a.m. See you then.